For our reading this morning, let's turn to the New Testament epistle of 2 Timothy, and we're going to go to chapter 4. And Cindy in the choir, I know that you had no idea what I was going to preach on, but your songs were chosen very appropriately. They very much were. 2 Timothy, it's right before Titus and Philemon and Hebrews, and of course right after 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. 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 Good. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. These eight verses say this: in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, I just pray that these eight verses of Scripture that were just read will penetrate all of our hearts here this morning. Father, that they will be like a double-edged sword, that they will do their work, that you will do your work, and that the Spirit inside us believers will start changing us in a godly direction here this morning. Father, I just want to hide behind the cross because I want your work to be done. You go ahead of me and pave the way, soften the hearts, that this message will be pleasing to you and will do the work for which you sent it out. To this, I ask in the name of Jesus, and it's in his Son I ask. Amen. This past week in our journey through the New Testament in 2012, we read the books of 2 Timothy, Titus, and a small little one-chapter book called Philemon. As I said last week, the books of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus are called the pastoral letters. These three books, these three letters, they mean a whole lot to me personally because they deal with church. They deal with church. And 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15 says, church, how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. That would be here, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Church. I love church. I hope you do too. I love church, what church does in me. And I love what I can do for the church. I love what we do here on a Sunday morning and other times during the week. I love being around fellow believers. I can honestly say this, since I have been saved, to me, coming to church, waking up in the morning and being here has never been a burden, and it certainly has never been a chore. Something that I look forward to each and every Sunday, not only when I've been a pastor, but certainly as a congregation member. After all, church is a place of salvation and encouragement, and worship, and learning, and prayer, and giving, and judgment, and renewal and many, many, many other wonderful things that happen here in the presence of God. But let's turn back the hands of time, getting back to our scripture reading here today. Sometime around the year 65 AD. Now that would have been somewhere between 30 to 35 years after the death of Jesus. The Apostle Paul commissioned his protege Timothy to be the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And that's also when he wrote the book of 1 Timothy, around that same time, 65 AD. But here it is, he's writing 2 Timothy. And he's writing this book around 67, 68 AD. Just a few years after he wrote 1 Timothy. Just a few years after Timothy was commissioned to be the pastor at Ephesus. Paul is now a prisoner in a Roman jail. He is in chains, literally. Very soon, he's going to be executed by the Emperor Nero. Yet, even under these terrible and harsh conditions, Paul finds it in his heart to write a second letter to Timothy, a letter of encouragement. Well, here's Timothy, a pastor at a church, and here's Paul, a prisoner in chains waiting to be executed. Who should really be encouraging whom? Well, you see, by this time for Timothy, many issues have come up within the church at Ephesus. And Timothy, he's becoming weary in his position as the pastor there. And Paul knows that Timothy needs to be encouraged to continue on his work as a pastor because that work is very, very important. The book of 2 Timothy is the final letter that the Apostle Paul ever writes. At least it's the final letter that we know that he writes that is included in the Bible. The final letter. And it is a letter of encouragement to a young pastor who is just having some difficult times leading a church. And Paul knows that he, Paul, is near death, and he wants to encourage Timothy by leaving him some final lines, an epitaph, so to speak. What's an epitaph, you may ask? An epitaph is a brief statement commemorating a deceased person. And if you ever see tombstones and they have inscriptions written on them, those would be epitaphs. And Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. The time has come for my departure. Words of a man who is about to die. And then Paul says these three things. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Those are three lines that certainly every pastor needs to remember. And Paul wanted to make sure that Timothy, the young pastor at Ephesus, remembered these lines too. Actually, I think it's three lines that every Christian should remember. We need to fight the good fight, and we need to finish the race. And we all need to keep the faith. Before I get into a more deeper discussion on those three lines, let me ask these questions to all of us here this morning. Here's our questions for the day. And this is for all of us. What kind of spiritual legacy will we leave behind? What will we be remembered for? What will our epitaph say? Remember, not all of us in here have been gifted the same way. Gets back to the parable of Matthew, from Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. Some have been just given one talent. Some have been given two. Some have been given five. That was the scale that was given in that parable. And not every one of us in here has been given the same. But everyone in here has been expected to use what we have been given. Either 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 talents, whatever that is. So what do we do for God? What did we do, or what are we doing that is worth people remembering us by? Do others know that we are fighting the good fight? Do others know that we are going to finish the race? And do others know that we will keep the faith? Our spiritual legacy will be a reflection of what we did with what we have been given. These are three great lines. I even listed them there in your bulletin. And I have no idea what I will say on my deathbed, or even if I have a chance to have a deathbed and say anything on it. But I do know this. I'd certainly like to be able to say something like what Paul said here. So let's take a closer look at these three things that he says, these three lines that he tells Timothy, a pastor who needs encouragement, coming from a man who is about to die. First thing he says is this: I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. My friends, if you don't think that Christianity is in a battle with the world, then you are mistaken. But it's not a battle of you versus your unbelieving friend, or it's not a battle of us versus them, so to speak. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 tells us what the battle really is. For our struggle, or our battle, is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The battle is not a fleshly one, a person versus another. It's a spiritual battle, and therefore, we must fight that spiritual battle with spiritual weapons. We must put on the armor of God. And the armor of God we find in Ephesians chapter 6 is the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and our feet fitted with the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. As someone said in Sunday school class this morning, those are all things that are in front of us because we go forward into battle, knowing, sure enough, that God is ahead of us in that battle. But let us not forget that Satan is like a roaring lion, and he's prowling around looking for someone to devour. And the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. To that, there must be a good fight that we must fight. Look how many times throughout the book of Acts that Paul or one of the other disciples were very brutally mistreated physically. Paul was dragged outside the city and he was beaten and left for dead. That certainly wouldn't be a pleasant thing to experience. And now Paul, that same apostle who was dragged out of that city, he's telling Timothy, if you're going to be in this Christianity thing, let me tell you this, it's going to be a fight. But we, as Christians today, we can't back away. We can't back away. Sometimes, if not most of the time, we need to be the ones who are putting on those gloves and getting into the ring, and we need to be the ones who start swinging before they start swinging at us. We may be hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We might be persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We might be struck down, but we are not destroyed. There is, my friends, a good fight, and we need to be in it as Christians. Second thing Paul says, I have finished the race. I have finished the race. Paul often compares the journey of a Christian with a race. But do you ever notice every time he does, he always looks at it in a forward direction. He's always looking ahead. In Philippians 3:14, he says he presses on towards the goal Why? To win the prize for which God has called. It's as if he sees the finish line up ahead, and there's that ribbon that's going across the track, and he has it all in view, and he's just determined to get there. And he's not going to stop until he has crossed that ribbon line and broken that ribbon going across it. And that has to be us, too. We can't stop running the race. Sometimes we might want to, because sometimes we do get into that ring, and sometimes we do put on the armor of God, and sometimes we do put on the gloves, and we try to fight that good fight, but sometimes we do get discouraged, and sometimes we feel like we are defeated. And sometimes we want to throw up our arms and we want to say, you know what? What's the use? Well, Paul says that we need to not only run the race, but we need to finish it. Timothy, you need to finish the race. Beech Grove, we need to finish the race. Because it is a battle that is worth fighting, and it is certainly a race worth finishing. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says this, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize." Well, I got good news for you here this morning. Each and every one of us that crosses that finish line, we all get a prize. Oh, is it a good prize? It's a prize that goes on for eternity. It's called eternal life. It's called secure and in the arms of Jesus Christ for our eternity. That's the prize. I want that prize. Do you want that prize too? Amen? I think we're all after that prize. So, we need to fight the good fight. We need to finish the race. And then the third thing that Paul says, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. I'm going to try to explain this one the best that I can using other scripture verses because I believe scripture explains this much better than what I could. I have to go back to John chapter 10, verses 28 through 30, and understand that when Jesus says, no one can snatch me, no one can snatch me as a believer, no one can snatch you as a believer out of the hands of Jesus, and no one can snatch you out of the hand of the Father. I have to go back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that says this, that he who began a good work in me, began a good work in you, will carry it on unto completion. I have to go back to Romans chapter 8 and understand that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us as believers from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I have to go back to Job, the book of Job, that man who had no idea why things were happening to him. He had no idea that there was a conversation going on in heaven. But I have to go back to that book and understand that when God places a saving faith inside of his chosen, that faith will never perish, spoil, or fade, regardless of our circumstances. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says this, and I've used this many, many times, for we are saved by grace through faith. And this is not of ourselves, it is a gift from God. Wow. How good it is to know that my faith is secure and it's in the hands of the Almighty God that I serve. And it is a faith that I know that I am going to keep, not because I know God, but because God knows me. Earlier, I called these three lines the epitaph of Paul. Did you notice that all three of these lines are all in the past tense? He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. But yet Paul is still alive. It's as if these actions have already been completed. Well, this morning marks the end of our study of the epistles, the letters written by the Apostle Paul, as we continue this journey through the New Testament in 2012. And today we briefly studied the epitaph of a man who knows his departure is near. I believe a very fitting way to conclude the Pauline epistles. So let's end with just these questions going on in our mind as we go throughout the week. Again, what kind of spiritual legacy will you leave behind? What will you be remembered for? What will your epitaph say? Will you fight the good fight? Will you finish the race? Will you keep the faith? I know that I just want to make a difference for God, and I hope you do too. Let's go to God in prayer.